New Testament reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 8 through 17, and then verses 25 through 27. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not believe, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. And in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I'm still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid." This is the word of our Lord. Today is Pentecost, and since it is Pentecost, it means that we all wear red. And it means that we celebrate the birth of the church, the inception of the church, which took place close to 2,000 years ago, when Christ's Spirit descended upon the disciples, drew them into community, and formed the first Christian community. Today, we celebrate the fact that since the church has existed for this long, it has provided us with a church home, a church family, a community of people to share life with. It has provided us with a community of like-minded people who believe in Christ, what he was about, what all he did while he walked this earth, and a community of people who are committed to replicating and sharing his teachings with others. And today, as we celebrate Pentecost, we celebrate the fact that each of us has received the gift of the Holy Spirit. We rejoice in knowing that even though Christ died and left this earth, he didn't leave us completely. He left us his own Spirit, which now resides in each one of us. For the early disciples, when Christ died and left them in bodily form, they were sad and distraught. They were lost. They didn't really know what to do since the man that they had been following and dedicating their whole life to was now gone. So when Christ showed back up again and his Spirit descended upon them, it revolutionized their lives. They gave them purpose and meaning again. The presence of the Holy Spirit gave the early disciples a renewed sense of confidence. It helped them to understand that even though Christ was gone in bodily form, the power and presence of Christ would always live on, and it would continue to live on in each one of them. That is the point that John was making in our passage this morning. The primary concern for John in that passage was for the early church to know that even though Christ was no longer with them, walking the earth, that the power and the presence of Christ was still very much alive, that it was within each of them. John wanted to make it very clear that since the presence of Christ was still alive and in his followers, then that meant that his Spirit would empower them and enable them to do certain things. Or to better paraphrase John, Jesus poured out his Spirit in order to fill the disciples with the power of the Paraclete. The Paraclete is a very precise Greek word that only John used to describe the Holy Spirit. This Greek word Paraclete translates as a counselor, a comforter, one who encourages and uplifts, one who refreshes, one who intercedes on our behalf as an advocate. In this passage, as John used this specific word to describe the Holy Spirit, he also delineated several things that the Paraclete would do for us. There are several different ways in which the power of the Paraclete would affect us. The first way in which we are affected by the power of the Paraclete is that the Paraclete helps to remind us of all that Christ said and did when he walked this earth. In our passage from John, Jesus said, "The Paraclete will teach you everything, remind you of everything I told you." A lot of times people refer to this aspect of the Paraclete as the conscience, that inner feeling or voice that guides people to make good and right choices and behaviors. The inner voice that tells you not to do something or makes you feel guilty when you make a bad choice or decision. But for Christians, we don't necessarily refer to that inner voice or feeling as a conscience. We refer to it as the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit or God talking to us, convicting us about certain things. It's the Holy Spirit or the Paraclete that is guiding us, telling us what we should or should not be doing. It is the Paraclete within us reminding us of everything that Christ said and did, reminding us of what Christ taught us. It is the power of the Paraclete helping and enabling us to replicate Christ's teachings. The second way in which we are affected by the power of the Paraclete is that it empowers us to do the work of God. In our passage from John, Jesus said, "And whoever believes in me will do the works that I do." And as we know, whoever believes in Christ has the Holy Spirit. They have the Paraclete within them stirring around. And as that Spirit stirs around within us, it moves through us. It empowers us. It enables us to do the work of Christ in this world. I've heard people describe this aspect of the Holy Spirit or the Paraclete as yeast, which is an interesting parallel to draw. But if you imagine a little ball of dough, and there's a ball of dough that's in a bowl, and doesn't have any yeast in it yet, so that dough doesn't fill the bowl up. But then you put the yeast in, and you start kneading it into the dough, and eventually the yeast starts doing its thing, and it starts causing the dough to rise and expand and to grow until it eventually fills the bowl. Same is the case for us. We are the ball of dough, and the Holy Spirit is the yeast. And once the Holy Spirit gets within us, it continues to stir around and do its thing. It causes us to grow, to expand, to rise up until we eventually go out into the world and do God's work. That is the power of the Paraclete at work within us, empowering and enabling us to do Christ's work. The third way in which we are affected by the power of the Paraclete is that the Paraclete prays with us and for us. In our passage from John this morning, Jesus says, "I will do whatever you ask in my name." Now, Jesus is not saying here that he is going to grant every desire of ours, as in we now have a Ferrari in the driveway or $1 million in our bank account. But what Jesus is saying is that when you pray in my name, I will hear you. I will answer you, and I will give you what you ask, because the Paraclete is also at work in you. Now, if we have this Paraclete or this advocate within us that is interceding on our behalf to God, then that means that when we're praying, the Paraclete is helping us to understand our situation from God's perspective, helping us to understand God's will for our lives, for that given time or that particular circumstance. So when Jesus says, "I will do whatever you ask when you pray in my name," what he is actually saying is that the power of the Paraclete works within us to align our wants, our needs, our desires with God's wants and needs and will for our lives. Therefore, when we pray, the Paraclete helps us to see God's will, aligns our will with God's will, which allows Christ to grant us what we ask for, because we're in line with what God wants for ourselves. Now, on several occasions, I have spoke to you all about the alarming statistics regarding church membership and participation across all denominations. I've talked to you about how the church as a whole is experiencing a downward shift. A lot of people are not drawn to organized religion anymore. Therefore, the church's budgets are shrinking. A lot of people are very alarmed by this. Their churches are having to close their doors. For the past couple of years, I have, as your pastor, have continually prayed for this church. and just continually prayed for people to be drawn to our church, to feel compelled to walk through our doors, to experience God in a deeper, more meaningful way. I continually prayed for our church to be vibrant and growing and thriving. I prayed for our children's ministry, that the children's ministry would continue to grow. These are the hopes and prayers of our session as well. These are the things that our session prays for. We spend a lot of time thinking about this stuff, talking about it, strategizing. And I know that these are the hopes and prayers for many of you. I know that a lot of you guys pray for our church. And over the past couple years, we've seen God answer those prayers. We have seen Christ answer us and grant us what we were praying for. Over the past couple of years, we've seen our children's ministry grow and grow and grow. When I first got here, there wasn't a kid who sat on these stairs. Most Sundays, I can't even sit down there with them because there's not enough room. Some Sundays, there's 14 kids up here doing children's church. Next week, the children are going to be leading Youth Sunday. They're going to lead the service. And we have VBS now. We have kids who come and participate in VBS. These are things that have not existed in this church for over a decade. Over the past couple years, we've baptized 15 kids in our church. We're going to baptize another little baby at the end of the month. Over the past couple years, we've received 16 new members. We're going to receive two more in about 10 minutes. This is the power of the Paraclete at work within all of us. This is the power of the Paraclete at work in our Sunday school teachers, our Christian Education Committee, anybody who volunteers for any event that goes on here. This is the power of the Paraclete at work with all of you guys who show up for our events or show up on Sunday morning and fill this church with love and warmth. This is the stuff that attracts people here. It's the power of the Paraclete that enables you to continue to do God's work in this church, but to also go out into our community and to tell them about what's going on here and share Christ with them. In a day and age when churches are closing left and right, our church is growing. It is thriving. The Paraclete is very much at work within us and within this church. And today we celebrate these things. We celebrate the power of the Paraclete. We celebrate the fact that the Paraclete is at work in our church and in our lives and in our community. This morning we celebrate the birth of the church and that we're adding members to it. Today we thank God for leaving us with the gift of His Holy Spirit that allows us and enables us to will and to work for His good pleasure. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.